So tonight we've got wonderful friends, but more than friends, family with us, Lance and Sue and Andrew and Miriam and some other guys from all over. But actually, Lance, I'm going to hand over to Lance in a few minutes. And I mean, everyone knows Lance and Sue. They served on eldership, as an eldership couple here with us for a very long season. And with heavy hearts, we released them to go to Malawi. But the beautiful thing is that God's got a purpose and a plan. And over this last year, they've been there. And obviously, I don't want to take away from what they're going to do. But I really want to ask that we'd open up our hearts. I really feel that in some of the stories and testimonies that they're going to share, we can get sort of stuck with, well, that's them. Or that's what God's called them to. Or that's just like an impossible task, whatever. But I feel like they're going to open up a door for us to look at, to be able to see the things that God wants us to step into. May not be Malawi, but they're just pictures of saints, everyday saints, going into areas to be able to take it for Jesus. And it starts one step at a time. And tonight, I want to ask that as they share, go beyond the comfort zones. There's something of that tonight, of getting through the hurdles, the comfort zones, and to be able to see the God of the impossible and what he's able to do through people that just say, here am I, Lord, I'm willing. So Lance, over to you. Us. So look, unfortunately, we tried to narrow it down a little bit, because if these guys could share, probably, they've been there for a year. They've seen the miraculous power of God in ways that this meeting is not going to be able to do justice to. So we're going to get a window into that world, I think. But grab hold of these guys, contact these guys, speak to them. They're going to be out there in Malawi doing their thing. If you want to know what's happening on the ground, what God is doing, pick up the phone and just give them a call or even a WhatsApp. When they've got power, they'll be able to respond. So over to you, my friend. Well, let me pray for you. Or pray for you guys. So Father, I just thank you for testimonies, Lord. You say that in Hebrews, God, that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And there's something about that, Lord, as we look to the men and women of faith of old, God, that our hearts get encouraged by the witness of those that have gone before. And they're cheering us on, saying, he is able to do it. He's able to finish what he has started. And God, we've got these living heroes of faith, God, for us, saints going and doing what you've asked them to do, Lord. And that's a testimony. And Lord, I want to ask that even as they share, that you would open up our eyes to see the things that you're doing and what you want us to do, God. Father, I want to pray that you would refresh them, that you would strengthen them, and that Holy Spirit, your words would come through and cut into our hearts, find fertile soil and produce a harvest in each of us, 30, 60, 100 fold. That is our expectation. That is our ask. And we ask that for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cool. Welcome back. So my name is Lance. If you're visiting or you don't know me, it's my earth name. And it's true, I did turn 60 on the shores of Lake Malawi this year. So I'm trying to grow up. Can we do the first two scriptures there? Luke chapter 9. So those of you who don't know, we were here for about 10 years in this congregation, and over time God has led us to Malawi. And so I want to read some scriptures. Luke chapter 9 verse 1. And when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if the people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town. So they went out from village to village to preach the gospel, healing the people everywhere. And then just jump to verse 10 as well. I think you got that. Same passage, verse 10 says, and when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. And the second passage, Acts chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. No. Wants to give me a pulpit. No. Doesn't fit in the bucky.
Don't
Just turn that thing so that people see the front of it, because I want to see who people, if anybody knows. Now, you've totally distracted. This is not my time. This is your time. Do you know that that's actually a fish? Come on, there's the tail, there's the ribs, there's the eye on the right-hand side and the little flat head with the mouth on the top. You've never seen it. So what do you think about when he's preaching? If you know, it's a fish. It's amazing. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And the question is, are we fishing and are we catching? Acts chapter 15. And then the church sent them on their way. And as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. And this news made all the brothers very glad. Verse 4, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. And so really what we want to do tonight, one of the things is just give opportunity for some feedback, some report back of what's happened in Malawi. Now Jesus said, you will see the sick healed, you will see the lame walk, you will see the blind eyes open. And if you ask Miriam, she just, her eyes open and she says, this is the book of Acts. Maybe she'll say it just now, because I can't say it like she says it. But it's been a year of like we're living in the book of Acts, where we've literally seen healing after healing and food multiply, which is, I suppose, normal Christian stuff. And people getting saved and demons flee and so on and so on. So I'm going to start with James and Cindy, because James and Cindy have come up this year, just before like November somewhere, you guys know. Come and give us, I want to hear one or two stories from each of you. Just what you saw God do, say, and because they're not up there all the time. They're one of many people. We had 38 people come up from South Africa to Malawi. Isn't that incredible? Last year, 38 people. Some of you from this congregation, some from other congregations. A young man guy was doing business in Zambia, and he just asked for leave, and he detoured past us for 10 days, and he dug us a hole to burn our rubbish in, and he put up a wash line. How's that for amazing? But he had to dig through the concrete to do that, and I couldn't do it. So did he? Yeah, absolutely incredible.
So hi, everybody. I'm James, as you've probably gathered. Cindy and I went up to Malawi in November, and I just, all the worshiping and the words that have come forward this evening, it's basically testimony to what we jumped in the river. I joined Joshua Generation Church because I was looking for a church where I could feed, where I could get stuff. And I never thought that I would ever be in a position where I would be doing the feeding of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy on people's lives. And going to Malawi, that happened. God used me in ways I never thought he ever would. I've never minded praying for people who are sick, because I feel that God has anointed me with that gift, and I've seen healings. And I mean, when we went up there, the first Sunday we were there, we went to a church, and guys, you're sitting here, you came, you sat on chairs. We sat on chairs there, but the people there brought the chairs. They walked for kilometers carrying the chairs to church. There was no electricity. The electricity came, wires twisted together with little pieces of plastic wrapped around it, across a road, through the rain, to have electricity there. And when we went inside there, Cindy had received a scripture that day from somebody about Isaiah 35, about feeble knees and things like that. And we walked in, and there were these group of children at the back, little kids, and one of them had feeble knees, like big swollen knees, club feet, and he was stuck on a chair, and he was lame, couldn't walk. And we called him to the front, all the kids to the front, and Cindy ministered to them through Andrew, and there were salvations out of those kids, genuine salvations. And this one little boy, his name is Hope, he was the one with the knees and the feet, and I was on my knees holding his feet, praying for those club feet, and I saw those feet straighten out in my hands. And I was really trusting for his legs to be 100% healed, but it turns out that he'd been cursed. And that's a whole nother story, but the thing is, that happened in my hands. That was God working through my hands, using me as a straw right there to help that child and to glorify his kingdom. And we have it so easy here. We've got lights, we've got electricity 99% of the time. There, Lance and Sue will tell you, and we witness to that, if you've got electricity, you do whatever you can while there's electricity. And if there's no electricity, there's no water, you've got to fetch it out of a well. If there's no electricity, there are no phones, there are no anything. And it's the third poorest country in the world. I mean, the people there go to Zimbabwe to look for jobs. That gives you an idea of how poor it is there. But they are loving, they are kind, they are hungry for God. And God showed me his real heart for people when I was there. I thought, I know how to love people. I know how to love my wife. But there I saw God's love. Those people are generous. They're kind. They'll give you the shirt off their back, the food off their table, their hospitality. And they are hungry for God. We had a young leaders little gathering at the 412 base the first few days we were there. There were young guys that rode bicycles over 100 kilometers to get there. And let me just tell you, the coolest day we had when we were in Namibia was 34 degrees with 90% humidity. Okay? They rode to a pastor's house that was about 8 to 9 km away, and then they walked from there. And they stayed with us, and we shared, and I shared my testimony with them, and they were so hungry for Jesus, authentic Jesus, Holy Spirit, stuff that we get every Sunday, we get in our communities. They don't have it. They're churches out there that are churches, but they don't know Jesus. They don't even know who Jesus is. It's Old Testament churches, but they're Christians. And Lance and Sue and the team are doing such awesome work there. They're going out there, and we are called to go out there and do these things, each and every single one of us. Not just to sit here on a Sunday and go, wow, worship was cool, or what Joey said was great, or that word that so-and-so brought really touched my heart. We are called to go and do that into the nations. We are called to be sent and go and do those things. So, yeah, just... it changes you, it changes the way you see people, it changes the way you see God, it changes the way you see yourself, it changes your relationships with the people close to you. It's just a phenomenal experience when God uses you in ways that you never thought or imagined possible.
The little boy with the legs, so and his mother, the kids had seen him, and so the deacons in the church were going to his house and carrying him on a chair so he could get to church. And that led to his mother and saying, what is this church? I mean, who does that? So she came. She went through ministry and deliverance for ages. And from then on, the home has opened up to the pastor to go in and counsel the marriage, put it back together. His legs are slowly straightening. It's just an incredible story. I haven't got time to give and tell you the whole story, but that was just the beginning of a whole reconciliation of stuff.
Yeah, and that's awesome. The thing about that lady, I think Sue said, someone said they're arranging, because that lady has got 6 children. She was pregnant when we took her through deliverance, and she'd gone to a witch doctor when she was pregnant with Hope, and he'd been cursed, but she would... slept with many men and got very demonized through that process as well. But after the deliverance, they are actually now preparing her to marry the man she's currently with. So there's been great fruit from that. We're trusting for amazing things. Yeah, just on that note, to pick up, because I know Phil said it, and it's been on my heart the whole day, this thing of going and going to make disciples. So like go to Greenpoint, go to Weinberg, go to Benoni, go to Malawi, go to Brazil, go, 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 go. It doesn't apply to some of us. It applies to all of us, and we don't have to question whether that's God's will or not, because he said it in his word. He's already said it. So it's not a question of God, should I do it? It's a question of when should I do it? Where should I go? Check with my leaders and go. Because for our trip to Malawi, it was not something that I would have chosen. Africa has never been, I'm just a bit of a princess. And camping is a stretch for me, so even just going to Malawi, I knew it would have to have been God calling us there. And God spoke to James first, and James said, well, then you better tell Cindy to God, because I'm not going to... Yeah, well, and that's it, and God did speak. And it was so clear to me how specific God is, because for each one of us, he's given a gift. And he puts us in a specific place, in a specific time, for his will to be done and for him to be glorified. And that's how I really, for both of us, we saw God move. So we had the thing on the first weekend with the young leaders. And Lance and Stuart asked that we focus on our time there, specifically on the prophetic and on Holy Spirit, because there's a real lack of that. The religious spirit and spirit of witchcraft, the territorial spirits over the area, and it's rife in the churches. And it is an eye-opener to see. And the thing I know that Lance always says to people is, don't do anything that is not coming from a place of heart. Don't do an action. Don't do anything for the sake of appearance, because it opens the door to that religious spirit. And people are bound in bondage so badly. And so we focused on that. The first weekend, I talked on the Holy Spirit. I did a lot of prophetic training, prophetic activation, spoke on freedom. We saw many get filled with the Spirit. We saw the gifts imparted, people receiving gifts, people then operating in the gifts. On the Tuesday, we met with some of the 412 pastors leading those churches. Most of them had never ever prophesied before. We taught on the prophetic. We prophesied over them. We did prophetic activations with them, and they started prophesying over each other, and then they prayed and they prophesied over us. The Sunday, James has already told you about that whole church. We did prophetic training with that whole church. The whole church broke up into groups and started prophesying over each other. It's a first for them. And bearing in mind, everything's happening through an interpreter. So the amount of concentration it even takes for them, it was huge. And God was just so faithful in everything. And Lance and Stuart planned for us to go to a village and show the Jesus movie and see the lost saved, villages get saved and people get healed and delivered. But God had a very different plan for our time there. And we were so blessed to just be able to build and know. And we met with a couple of two leaders that led. One leads 22 churches, another one 17 churches. Churches, and just simple things. Actually, I'll let James share that.
Just a simple thing. This is a guy who leads multiple churches, and he oversees multiple churches. And we were having some fellowship with them, and you know, they were telling us how long they'd been married, and we said, "Yeah, we got married this year." And he's like, "Oh, all excited." And I said, "You know, the biggest challenge for me, and I've done a lot of challenging things in my life, is." As a husband, is dying to self literally daily for my wife. And just like Jesus died for the church, his bride, I have to do that on a daily basis for my wife. And this was a revelation to this guy. And he leads many churches, and he's a really dynamic guy. He's an awesome Christian. He's been to 412, I think, eh? Yeah, he came to one twice now. But he had no concept of being a husband to his wife the way Jesus is a husband to his church, and treating his wife in that way, because they're the women in that culture they don't have much to say. They're never given an opportunity to speak. I went to another lead pastor's home for coffee. His wife came in on her hands and knees, crawled up to me and washed my hands so that I could have coffee, and then literally left backwards on her hands and knees. That's how women are treated in that country. And then for these guys to realize that they actually need to elevate their wives and treat their wives the way Jesus treats the church. And these are church leaders. So that was, yeah, amazing. Just while I've got the mic, because as Phil said, he who has the mic. I would just like to really thank Lance and Sue and the team in Malawi, Miriam and Andrew, for their hospitality to us. I mean, they gave up their rooms and beds and stuff for us and basically incorporated us into the Malawi family, and that's what it feels like, is we're part of that team, even though we're not there now, and we have electricity and hot and cold water and a fridge that's cold inside. So we just like to say thank you. We'd just like to say thank you for that opportunity and for welcoming us in and allowing God to use us the way he did and to make a difference in God's kingdom.
Well done, guys. Well done. So, sure. Andrew, Miriam, who's in? You can both come. Some of you, if you've been here a while, will almost recognize Miriam, because Miriam did her high schooling in Cape Town and used to come here, actually, in this congregation and to youth. And that was 8 years ago, and God said to me, one day she'll serve with you in Africa. And we said nothing for 8 years. And who would have known that on our way up, we'd sleep over in her house, and God would change the course of the next few years. So Miriam and Andrew, you can swap the mic between the two of you. Just the first things that you think about, some of those things you've seen God do through you, in you, in Malawi, catch the heart. So we'd love to hear.
Hello, everyone. As you said, my name is Miriam, and I've been in Malawi for... Oh, I'm originally from Congo. That's where I was born. And then my family moved to Cape Town, and then I was here for 5 years. And then after that, I finished my high school. Then I moved over to Botswana, where I did my university. And then, yeah, and then I'm with Lantanzu now. long story short. I've been with them for almost eight months. Sure, and it's been incredible. And I'm going to try not to cry. But if I do, I'm sorry. So we have a class on Wednesday, an English class, every Wednesday, which I never thought I would be teaching English. So she was my English teacher in high school. So the two of us are now teaching English every Wednesday, which is amazing. So she has like the advanced class, so to speak, and then I take the others. And it's been so amazing. How many of them? We have about 20 ladies coming every week. Pastors, wives, and leaders in the church coming every week. So we teach them English just so we can help them with feeling like they can help their husband in the ministry, that they're not just pastors' wives. Because it's like a title. People don't even know their names. If you ask them, what's the name of the... They would just say it's pastor's wife. So it's just to help them to understand they are just as important in Jesus' eyes as their husbands are. So, long story short of that, I think that has been such an amazing thing for me and for them, seeing how God has used teaching them English, but we do ministry. So we have a little bit of a program. I don't know if I could call it a program or sections. So when we come in, we worship, we will sing, and then after that we do our lesson, and then sometimes we have a teaching. Almost of the time, every week we have a teaching. And that has really, sure, it has changed them. So for me, to see this, my students, so to speak, come in, first time I meet them, lovely ladies, but you could see even on their faces, you know, they were just uncomfortable. Just some of them were sad. Some of them, you could see something is not right. Like, you're not where God wants you to be. And so to just see their, what can I call it, self-esteem and confidence grow has been incredible. So I have this student in my class. She used to come. I mean, most of them are very poor, but she used to come to the class dressed like she didn't care how she looked. Let's just put it that way. So she would come to class every week, but she looked terrible. And I would think, girl, you young, come on, you know. But I mean, she's a mom and she has kids. She's probably younger than me. But she would just come to class and I'm like, come on, you have a purpose. You are someone. And then slowly but surely, every week as we're teaching, as we are loving them, as we hear their stories, as we share, and you see them come through. And some of them, deliverances has happened there. I still remember the first time we had amazing worship with them. So we've been trying every week. We'll come in, and there was that thing where, you know, when they don't know, you don't know what they don't know. And so we've been pushing every week. And then 1 week, Cherie was still there with us. And I was playing guitar, and we were singing You're Beautiful. I think all of Malawi now knows this song. We've been singing it over and over again. And so one time we just sat there, and we were singing. And the presence of God just broke in. Like you could feel it in every, yeah, like it was everywhere. And so people started manifesting, which is interesting. I'm glad that Sue was there and Cherie was there to handle that, but sure. And then as that was happening, they were praying for a lady, and then I think she had the religious spirit, and then they just prayed for her, and then they just loved her afterwards. Because sometimes what happens is when you pray for people, maybe some people in the church may think, oh, you were demonized, you know. But it was such, because they're in a safe place. It's just ladies there, and they feel safe. And so as even that was done, there was no shame. It was taught what was happening, and for them to have, what do you call it, discernment of what is the spirit of God and what is not of God. And so with that, even seeing that lady coming every week, she is different from the day she was prayed for. Her face is different. Her attitude is different. She's alive. And yeah, I think for me, that has been the highlight. We had graduation in November, just before we came here, and they had to give a speech. Well, we selected a few ladies in our classes to give a speech. And I mean, I didn't teach them some of the stuff. They came through with firstly and secondly and finally. I was like, what? And it's been, yo, it's like to think. Because it was a challenge for me to decide to come and to think, I said yes to the call of God. And he has. And he used me to change their lives. Yeah. It's been amazing.
Before I say something, I want you to do something for me. When I say hallelujah, you say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to be louder. Hallelujah. Welcome to Malawi. I just want to thank the people that used to come in Malawi. I appreciate that because through them, there's a lot of things that they are changing. You know, Malawi, we believe culture. We stuck on culture. So through your coming, I think there's a lot of things that are changing. You can see youth now are active in church, and the pastors are working together, because in Malawi, pastors, they don't work together. But because of through this ministry, 412 ministry, I can see pastors come together, pray together. It's amazing. Because I remember in the Bible, Jesus say, go and make my disciples unto the nation. So I think this is what God wants. Not go and make churches, no. Go and make families, no. But go and make my disciples. So I really enjoy for this ministry, 412 ministry, because, yeah, it has brought a lot of things in Malawi. Yeah, I don't know what to say next. Okay, my favorite story. Okay, I remember Lance Sue sent us to a village. It was the first time that he sent us without him being with us. So it was long, long, long way. So as we are going, I think some of the youth were coming from here. Yeah, certain boys, yeah, I think three of them and me from Malawi. So as we were going, I can see the faces of people were scared. Like, where are we going? So one of the lady, she say, let us pray. So we pray. After pray, and she said, I saw a lion. I was like, what's going on, lion? Then I asked, okay, I didn't ask her, but is lion chasing us? Or I just forget about it, okay? So as we reached to the house, so we had a service, we prayed with the pastors, and everything went well. But next Next day, we're supposed to go to another village, so it's far from where we are. So when we reach the, okay, before we go there, we prepare, everyone prepare to teach. So we shared that you're going to preach about the identity, you're going to preach about the Holy Spirit. We shared. So as we are going, I just feel like God say, you are not going to speak about whatever you have prepared. You have to change. But I was like, how will I convince my friends that you need to change? We need to change. So I asked God, what are you want us to do? He said, I want salvation. So I called my friend when we reached the place. Before we entered in the church, I called my friends. Then I say to them, guys, we need to change. Whatever we have prepared, I think is not what God wants us to do here. Let us do what God wants. God wants us to preach about the salvation, to preach about Jesus. So everyone agree. Yeah, I think that's the good way. But the question was, who is going to be a preacher? So everyone was looking at me like, nah, I can't do this. I'm like, I can't do that. I didn't prepare. I don't have scriptures, but they helped me. Like, we searched down some scriptures for salvation. Then I went in. Then we went into the church, but I didn't know what to say. But the first moment I saw the people, the question just came to me to ask them, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And everyone was quiet. Then I asked again, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" No answer. Then I called the church leader. Okay, one of them say, "We don't know. We don't know Jesus Christ." But I know they know him. They know about him, but they don't know what Jesus do. Like what Jesus do to a person, that he died for us. He can increase you. He can save you. They don't know about this. They just know there is Jesus, like a story. That's all. And then I asked one of the leaders there, like, is what the people saying that they don't know Jesus Christ true? They say, yeah, maybe it's true. But then I preached and I called for salvation and everyone came to the front, including church, all church lies up. It was about 170 something, the people raise their hands, receive salvation from Jesus Christ. So I like this story. thank you for your listening. My English is a little bit off. I hope you understand. Maybe you hear some Chichewa words inside. You go to Rancisu, I think we will translate for you. Thank you.
So we've known Andrew from when he was a young boy in Andrew Senior's church. His dad is one of the 412 pastors, and so we took him with to help us translate and dropped him at home, and he was really down and like FOMO because we'd left him behind. And then he just felt God say, actually, no, he's supposed to be on team. So he's been with us, living in the house, in the base. He's like our best translator, best Monopoly player, best Catan player. But just seeing God work in his heart, and actually we couldn't have done what we're doing without him. And as much as we say to this church, thanks for releasing people like James and Cindy and Candace and all of that, it's like thanks to his church, because they got there. He's their worship leader, their keyboard player, their children's worker, and gave him up for us. And we've seen God restore somebody new into that church, you know. That's the kingdom. That's 412. So well done, Andrew. Well,
hi, everybody. It's good to be back with you all. And
We are very excited to tell you some stories about what God has been doing. So in October, we felt God saying we should do a trip down south to the southern part of Malawi. It's very hot there, and it's the only time slot we had in the year to go back there. We'd already been twice, and the people were calling, please come, we really need more training. And so from the first trip we went to the third trip, the churches down there literally grew by double or triple the number of people. And that is simply through leadership training. So we've got a hub in a village called Nsanje. It's far south. And the guys there said to us, it's going to be very hot. So we mentally prepared ourselves because Cherie and I had been in February, so we knew how hot it was. It's 46 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning with about 90 degrees humidity level. So it's really hot. You cannot wear jeans. It's too hot. We wear skirts, and you just perspire all day. So we started off in the meeting with these guys with a small, like, 1 liter cool drink, water bottle, and we landed up with a 5 liter water bottle just drinking. But the people had come from far away, and we were just amazed to be there because the guy that runs a church is like an Abraham figure. It's literally like living in a village in the Old Testament times, because he's got 55 cattle and he's a man of influence, so he's very wealthy for them. And the church is right near his house. And we asked them how many children, because there are children everywhere. He said, there are 19 children. So we're looking at this lady, the pastor's wife, and we're thinking, did she give birth to 19 kids? No, she didn't. They have 5 of their own, and the rest are all adopted. And the amazing story about those kids is that he's taken on his family's children when they needed it. The one girl is 15 years old. She leads worship in the church, and she was, her mother died, and her stepfather wanted to marry her off at 15. And she called to her uncle and said, please help me. Will you take me? And he took the whole family of children, including her, put her back in school. And Miriam had a word for her the first time we went down about her singing new songs. And we were very excited when we left that village that she and 2 of the girls, including this young 15-year-old, had actually written some Chichewa songs. So the whole idea of a new song, they've been singing the same songs for hundreds of years in Malawi. You can go to any church and they'll be singing the same songs. So the whole idea that God can give you a new song is a great revelation. So that's been amazing, just seeing the life of God in the children. I sat with each of the 19 children and said, come and sit here. How old are you? What school are you in? What grade are you in? And you see a 10-year-old child is in grade 3, only because uncle has taken her in and just started her with school when she came to him. So some funny stories from that. Lance is preaching, and in walks a little kid. I mean, the goat kind of kid. Sits behind the pulpit because he's discovered that that's the coolest place in the village. Next thing, chicken hen comes in with all her babies, sits behind the pulpit. Then he's preaching and there's quack, 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 lays an egg in the middle of the service. But more than that, mommy goat decides she's missing her baby, so she comes and sticks her head in the door and calls loudly, and baby goat runs out. And this is happening the whole time. So you're literally living with animals around you all over. There's no anti-dog laws there about dogs coming into, you know, church. You'll see a little pig run across in front of it. So we have a lot of fun there. In fact, Lance and I get tired of the city and we want to go to the villages because everything's such fun and new and very rural. But that story I can show you a little bit about 15 leaders with their wives coming together. And we took Edson with us, who's one of the 412 pastors. And he was sitting chatting to some ladies after the service. And he said to them, if you were to die tonight, would you be sure you'd go to heaven? And these two older ladies said, no. So he asked them why. And they said, we don't have a uniform and we don't go to church enough. And so we realized that there was no understanding of the grace of God there. So Lance preached about Peter and how God restored him and gave Jesus, accepted him back after many mistakes. And we're finishing the message, and he's speaking about confessing your sin to one another so that you may be healed. The next thing, the chief jumps up. We've not given an altar call or anything. He jumps up. He says, that's me. That's me. I've been involved in adultery. I've been lying to people. I've been bribing people. I've been drinking to the whole church. And he's a church member. He's got marks in his Bible because he's been to church and he's educated. And his life just broke open so much more for the rest of the church that he was going to break open honesty and accountability to the community around him. So that was amazing. But then Lance gave an altar call about assurance of salvation. And eight of the pastors and wives put up their hands and said, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I met Jesus tonight. And it was just amazing. So you're thinking, going back to your churches, knowing you are actually securing God is a powerful thing. It's going to change everything in that church. So we're very excited about what's happening there. Please pray for us. It's tough physically. It's tough emotionally. It's tough spiritually. There's a lot of challenges, but we're very excited to go back in a week and a half, and we need your prayers and we need your love, and thank you for having us. Just stay a little bit longer.
Who's been? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's a whole bunch. Sound desk. It's amazing, hey? Just amazing. Just amazing. What do we do there? Obviously, we're part of 412. We're there on behalf of Andrew, who leads and is the apostle over 412, as his Timothy Titus, you can put it that way, in Malawi, to train and equip the leaders and the pastors so they can equip their people for the work of service, so that the whole body of Christ can be built up in mature and unity, ready for the return of our Jesus. And so that's what we're doing. And so we just keep having to say, what are we there for? To equip the pastors and the leaders. And so when you say, like, there's seven pastors respondents, because we pull them together into groups, into one place, spend a weekend with them, sometimes in the city, sometimes 500 k's down into the bottom end of Mozambique. So there's some good, there's another conference planned again in June if you want to come for 412 conference. I mean, you can go to Cape Town one or Malawi one or Isle of Man, I don't mind. But what about us? Come join our one. There's a conference. We do trips. If you come on your own and say, Lance, I've got a gap, I'm passing through Africa on work, we'll just pull you in with what you're doing, and you will never be the same. You will see God do something in your own heart, and you'll see him do something in a nation's heart. And I always want to say thanks for releasing us as leaders of this church, you know. And our hearts live in two nations, and we'll do that until God changes it. And Mary, why don't you come sing over us? Andrew can come join too, because helps us be strong. Why don't you just close your eyes for a second? I know when you hear stories like this, there's two pulls that Jesus does because it's so close to his heart. The one is, do you know this Jesus? You've heard the stories, but do you know him? I grew up as a pastor's kid. I knew all about him, but I did not know him till I was 22. And when I made that change, my life actually changed. And you could be sitting here, I don't know everybody in this meeting, and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never committed your life to his lordship. And we think, well, God has given me everything I need. I can make my life work. No, you can't, because what he gave you to make your life work on earth was his son. Without his son, you can never make your life work. And I'm going to ask Miriam just to sing that song that she's talking about that the lady sang that first time of worship. Oh, you're beautiful. And as she sings it, will you just weigh up and let God's Spirit talk to you? And when she's finished, I'm going to ask that if there's anybody who needs to make a respond, that you'd actually just put your hand up while our eyes are closed so that I can pray for you. It's possible that there's some people sitting here that you know God has called you to some kind of mission. I have no other word for it, but like he's called us out of our normal place of living to another nation. It's possible he's calling one or two people to do that. May not be this year. But if God's calling you to do something, you need to respond and say, okay, God, I'm ready. Prepare me for that thing. I don't know. Let's just close our eyes.
I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. And I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. Oh, oh, you're beautiful. Oh, oh, you're beautiful. And I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. And I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. Oh, 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 you're beautiful, God. Oh, 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 you're so beautiful. I see your face. You're beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful. I see your face, I see your face. You're beautiful, so beautiful, I see your face. I see your face, you're beautiful, so beautiful. I see your face, I see your face, you're beautiful, so beautiful, oh.
Jesus, won't you come and call? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus.